the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is your host of Lift High the Cross Radio Broadcast, Apostle W.D. Carter, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. Praise God. And we want to continue, praise the Lord, from our last part of the message called The Harlot Church System. Praise God. It is a book written by Brother Charles E. Newbold, Jr., and it is a very, very important teaching. And I have been using it to teach the message from the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay, Babylon, Babylon, the great is fallen. Okay, come out of her, my people. Okay, come out of her. In fact, we need to read that. Praise his holy name. Let's read that. Please turn your Bibles to Revelation 18. Okay? Revelation to the 18th chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I didn't turn to it earlier. But as always, sometimes the Holy Spirit is very spontaneous and will call for you to do something in a moment's notice. Chapter 18, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Praise be to the living God. And so the instruction is, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers or participants of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Okay, come out of her. It is imperative that you hear that call. And that has been a perpetual call, but I'm really beginning to understand how in this day, in this current time in which we are living, praise the Lord, that call has actually been heightened. It has been heightened. It has been emphasized and re-emphasized. Okay, and this call is made louder. The Lord is calling us out of the harlot church system. And so that's what, praise the Lord has dealt with me to deal with. He has called me to teach and preach this message. Praise his holy and matchless name. Now, what you must understand, you, the true, authentic believer, okay, must understand that because you are in the system, you are the my people that he is calling out of the system. Praise the Lord. He is not calling everybody out of the system. Let's make that perfectly clear. The Lord has really qualified who he is calling out of the system. He has said, come out of her, my people. Praise the Lord. And so there are a lot of people in the system. Okay? All right? All the nations, the peoples, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Okay? There are great millions of people, praise the Lord, who are in the harlot church system. And the harlot church system basically is illustrated by your vast religious institutional church system, your denominations, which are all over the world. Okay, they're everywhere. One of the biggest ones is Catholicism. Okay, we have the Baptists, we have the Methodists, we have the Presbyterians. That whole there. That's part of the harlot church system. They are religious church systems. They are not the church of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The church of Jesus Christ within the system is the my people that God is calling out of the harlot church system. All right? And so you need to understand basically what God is saying and to whom God is saying it to. Praise the Lord. So let's continue in this chapter. And we're going to start at this title, Rebellion and Stubbornness. Jesus hated the rebellion and stubbornness of the Pharisees. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them who are entering in, or neither suffer them who are entering to go in. Matthew 23:13. Now, that is a powerful statement, a powerfully true and accurate statement. Let me give you an example, okay? Under the Baptist denomination, when you go into the Baptist temple, all right, and the pastor, he preaches a sermon, okay? And at the end of the sermon, they have a ritual that they do, and they call people in to join that church. Whoever wants to join the church, please come down to the front in front of the altar, okay? This is not a call to repentance, okay? This is not a call to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a call to the new birth experience. This is not a call to sanctification and consecration, okay, within the confines of the authentic message of the gospel. This is a call to join a religious institution, and that institution is part of the harlot church system. So what happens, and I can tell you this by experience because I've preached in many Baptist organizations, okay, so what happens? The people come down, and because they've been coming into that temple for a while, and they feel comfortable there, they know people there, and finally they make a decision, okay, to join that religious institution. It is that, but that is not an act of repentance. You need to understand that the act of repentance is a supernatural act that is granted you by the Holy Spirit. In other words, none of us has the ability to repent in and of ourselves because we are ensconced in our own human depravity. We are born in sin, and we are shapen or developed in iniquity. And so we don't have the power in and of ourselves to actually repent before God. God must grant us the ability to repent. And repentance is supernatural. It is so supernatural that it is a complete revolution in terms of how we feel about God and how he feels about us, in terms of how we feel about ourselves and sin. See, we turn in repentance. You actually turn from yourself because you recognize within yourself that there's something terribly wrong with yourself. In fact, please turn to the 51st Psalm, and so I can give you a concrete example or a concrete definition of what authentic repentance is. Psalm 51, and this is the young man David repenting before the Lord after his debacle with Bathsheba and Uriah, okay? Remember, David had committed murder. He had committed adultery, and then he committed murder, all right? And during that whole year, okay, he went through something. He suffered within himself, okay? And until he came to the place of repentance. So let me show you how it works. This is how repentance works. David came to the Lord and said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When my mother was in sin, she conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. He was referring to the sacrificial system at that time, where they used hyssop. They dipped the hyssop and sprinkled it. Okay. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I shall be purer than the driven snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart. That's the new birth experience right there. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See, this is why we have no interest in the Holy Church system of personal evangelism, because our hearts have not been changed. We know all of the religious ritual, okay? We know that we got to come to church 3 times a week. We know that we got to tithe into this religious institution. We got to support the pastor. We got to support the bishop, including his birthday and all other days that he says are important to him. We know all of that stuff, but we don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know him. We don't have his spirit. And if any man, any woman, have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's none of his. And so this is what the Lord wants you to understand. So he is calling you out, calling the true people out of the system. Okay? The people were at you, the people were at you to join the religious institution, but they are not, and I repeat, they are not emphasizing the absolute necessity of the new birth experience. The new birth experience is a miracle that takes place in your life via the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of the Pharisees had to have known from their knowledge of the scriptures that Jesus was Messiah. Too many coincidences existed between Old Testament prophecies and the events of Jesus' life. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They knew, but did not want to believe. They had compromised with the world system in order to gain power, position, riches, and dominance. While many Pharisees believed and turned to Jesus, most of them did not. Those who did not believe hardened their hearts against the truth. They refused to enter in and hindered others from entering in as well. Do you understand that? Okay? And so unbelief is a position in your heart. It is a position in your heart. In other words, praise the Lord, when you actually reject the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, your heart, the consequences is that your heart is hardened against the truth. Okay? When you reject the message of the gospel, you actually choose to believe a lie. And when you do that, your heart becomes hardened against the truth, to the point where you begin to fight against the truth and those who live out the truth before you. Okay? It is a spiritual condition, and it takes place, what's the word I'm looking for? inexorably it takes place. It is also a process, okay? And you'll become hardened in sin to the place where you're ready to murder the person or persons who promulgate the truth. This is why you turn against the true believer. This is why you will persecute the true believer. This actually happens in your everyday practical experience. And those of you who are the authentic believers who are still in the system and have placed your trust in the system, in addition to a place in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is why you're being persecuted. See, you're looking for human validation from the system because, you know, the Lord has anointed you and you're able to break the text, to explain the scripture. Praise the Lord. You favor proclaiming the truth. But every time you do it, you notice that you got to go through something hard, that the people hate you, that people reject you. See, because you're forgetting, praise the Lord, that your flesh will always fight with or war with or lust against the Holy Spirit within you. See, your flesh wants to be validated. Glory be to God. But the Holy Spirit in you is directing the anointing in you to declare the word of God in an unadulterated fashion. And so you need to understand you're going to have to surrender or deny the desire and the lust for human validation and come out of a harlot church system. You're going to have to do it. Many leaders in the church system today should know that their membership is held hostage by the rigidity of their belief systems and governmental systems, but they refuse to set them free. They teach and preach church works, and church membership as the way. They need commitment from their members in order to build a kingdom for themselves. Do you understand? True people of God. They need your faithfulness. And that's why they manipulate you. They manipulate your emotions, okay? They manipulate your families. They manipulate your marriages. You know that this is happening. Praise the Lord. But because you want them to validate you, some of you, praise the Lord, recognize that you got to call to preach or to teach and or to teach, praise the Lord, the message of the gospel, but you're looking for the system to validate you through ordination. You want to be ordained by your religious institution when Jesus Christ himself has already ordained you. Okay? He's ordained you and called you to go forth. He said that I have ordained you. Okay? And called you to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Remember that? Praise the Lord. You're already ordained of God. To look for the institution to ordain you. They're not going to ordain you. You know why? Because you're preaching and teaching the truth, and they're not going to ordain that, because preaching and teaching the truth goes against the institution of religion. The church institution, and the church institutional church always operates in religion, and religion always ultimately rejects Christ. That's why it rejects you. You need to understand that and come out from among them. Hallelujah. People are stuck in those places. Those who run the churches invite us to stay put in their place forever and shame us for going from place to place. How many of you have been called out for even visiting another temple, going to another temple? How dare you? Why weren't you here last Sunday? Well, I went to so-and-so. What do you mean you went to so-and-so? Did you come to me and get permission to do that? Come on, people. You know you go through those changes. Those who remain in these places are served up the same day-old, worm-infested manner. Sp- spiritual growth is minimal, if at all. Any growth one might experience is most likely experienced outside of and in spite of that place. Spiritual growth is in reality a spiritual journey. It is a journey that answers the call of Jesus Christ. Come, follow me. But Lord, let me first go and bury my father. To which he still replied, let the dead bury the dead. If you find yourself in a dead place, get up and follow the way. Jesus. Jesus is the way, not a place. If we are to follow Jesus, we must not get stuck in a place. Church as we know it today is a roadblock to Jesus. Wow. Let me say that again. Church as we know it today is literally a roadblock to Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus hated the way the Pharisees took advantage of widows. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Pharisees are takers, not givers. Though they pretend to be giving something in return for offerings and donations, this practice occurs every day on so-called Christian television and radio. Great promises are made by televangelists to their fleecible viewers who send them contributions. Send me a donation of $50 and I will send you the anointing oil from Israel. I mean, come on. If that's not a sales gimmick, come on, people, you know, because you can go down to the corner store and buy you a bottle of olive oil, lift it up to the Lord, ask him to bless it, and use it for prayer. Stop deceiving yourselves. Stop giving in to junk religion. Come on here. Jesus, the Jesus junk they offer is ridiculous. Bracelets, special study Bibles, books, healing cloths. Some will promise to pray for you or send you a book if you send them a donation. But if you do not, are they still willing to pray for you and send the book? These gimmicks are used to increase their data and support base. A young lady named Kathleen was the widow of a benevolent man. After his death, she felt obligated to continue his level of generosity, though she could not afford to do so. Knowing her vulnerability, the president of a seminary persuaded her to give an extraordinary contribution to his institution. It was a feather in his hat. She was a devout believer and assumed that her contribution was advancing the cause of Christ. You see that? She was believing that her giving, her contribution to this particular guy was going to advance the cause of Christ. Little did she know that this school was corrupting the faith of young men and women with their liberal anti-Christ curriculum. He devoured her house. Rather than devouring widows' houses, we should set our hearts upon devouring Jesus. Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. He alone has the words of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus hated how the Pharisees proselytized converts to Judaism. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. Okay. A convert to Judaism. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. A proselyte is a person who has been converted from their religion, faith, sect, or party to that of the one proselytizing them. The Pharisees were not doing others a favor by converting them to Judaism. Rather than bringing others to a faith and relationship with Yahweh God, they brought them to their religious observances of traditions, days, and rituals, thus implying this is the way, walk in it. In so doing, they put others under bondage to their law. Their motivation was to increase their own sphere of influence. And that's exactly what happens in the harlot church system today. Every denomination is proselytizing people to their denomination, their religious doctrine, their dogma, their religious ritual. They're not proselytizing, they're not evangelizing people to the lordship, to salvation and the lordship of Jesus Christ. They are increasing their religious sphere of influence over the lives of the people. And every one of you knows that. You know it. Deep down in your heart, you know it. And every once in a while, those of you who are filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, the Spirit of God pricks your heart, okay? But rather than you standing up or going to the Lord and repenting and coming out, quitting that stuff, you continue to do it. Until what's going to happen to you, after a while, the dispensation of grace on your life is going to run out, okay? It's going to run out. The mercy that the Lord is extending you is going to end. And what you're going to do is find yourself reprobate within the harlot church system. When you reach the place of becoming a reprobate, you have reached the point of no return. In other words, what is the word? In other words, you are beyond redemption. That's what becoming reprobate is about. You become beyond redemption. And you are given over to your choice and the consequences thereof. Nicolaitans need their converts to believe salvation is assured by being associated with their form of religion. In so doing, they preach another Jesus and make their converts twice the children of hell as themselves. Do you see it? That the harlot church system preaches another Jesus. And Paul declared by the Spirit of the living God, and let those that do so be accursed. Be accursed. In fact, let me qualify and certify the statement. Turn to Galatians, please. Galatians. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me turn to it. Let me turn to it also. Thank you, Lord. I would like to find it quickly, but okay, let's find it. And I believe, praise the Lord, that it's going to be, I believe, in the third chapter, perhaps the ninth verse, if I am not mistaken. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, no. All right, we're going to start at the first verse. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the Lord to do them. Holy people, Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I can't find it right now. Praise the Lord. But Paul declared, those who preached another gospel, a different gospel, they were to consider to be accursed. Do you understand? They were considered to be accursed. And since I can't find it right now, I must continue. Praise the Lord in the lesson, but I will give you the reference when I come back. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As with the Pharisees in Jesus' time, present-day Nicolaitans lead their converts to believe that salvation is assured by being associated with their form of religion. In so doing, they preach another Jesus and make their converts twice the children of hell as themselves. Jesus came to set men free. Listen to that, people. Jesus came to set you free. Binding others to our religious practices is an offense to him. We are to join people to Jesus in order to set them free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus hated the snobbish self-righteousness of the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the Lord, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone. They kept the letter of the law, tithing, mint, and anise, and cumin, but knew nothing of the spirit of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They thought by keeping the letter of the law, they would attain righteousness by the works of self. You understand that statement? They thought that by keeping the letter of the law, this is what religious people do within the system. They keep the letter, okay, of the word, okay, rather than the spirit of the word. Jesus declared, my word is spirit and it is life. They that are led by the spirit of the living God, those are the sons of God. Are you getting this? And therefore, praise God, the religious people that read, you know, the word of God on a regular basis, they never come to a revelatory understanding of the word because they only ingest the word intellectually. They never digest the word spiritually. Are you listening? Okay. Their intellect absorbs the word and they operate out of the word in self. They use the word to try to justify themselves or make themselves righteous before God. That's called religion. Religious rituals. And that's why their relationship with Christ is reduced to going to church rather than being the church. Are you understanding? Self-righteousness is thinking that our righteousness has something to do with how well we perform. It suggests that we can appease God by being good or doing good works, by keeping the law or such foolish things as fulfilling our Sunday morning obligation. The Pharisees kept the law in order to be saved by the law. Paul expressly stated, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. They knew the law, but did not know the spirit of the law. Paul declared, by the law shall no flesh be justified. Self-righteous persons can be legalistic, prideful, arrogant, haughty, religious, pious, hateful, restrictive, judgmental, critical, rude, preachy, mean, dangerous, and lacking in mercy, compassion, kindness, and generosity. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Let me give you an example. In the prosperity movement, come on here, all right? Praise the Lord. The prosperity movement will teach you as a believer that because you're going through some kind of challenge, whether it be a financial challenge or a moral challenge, whatever the challenge may be, that somehow you are lacking in faith. and that those who you see in the congregation that are successful, that are doing good, that are doing well, okay, that are successful in their finances, somehow their faith is greater than your faith. Are you listening? And therefore, they create a divide within the congregation called the haves and the have-nots. They divide the people of God from the people of God. Okay? Not only that, they use the people who are having those kind of challenges, they use their alleged lack of faith, okay, to say that they don't have to give them anything. Well, you're not believing God, enough. You know, your faith, you got to put more faith in God. Yet Jesus declared that, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Come on, people. This is happening. Okay? Right now in the harlot church system. Hallelujah. Okay? You'll find that in that movement, people who are really doing good, they don't even want you around. If you're not doing good, if you're poor, okay, if you don't have a car, if you don't have a house, there's something wrong with your faith. You don't really believe in the Lord, because the Lord will reward your faith. This is a dastardly lie from the true and the living God. Turn your Bibles, praise the Lord, and I can find this, to Ecclesiastes, please, the 3rd chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise his holy and matchless name. Here we go. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, and we want to begin at the 1st verse. Look what he says here. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. In other words, people, life is cyclical. Every one of us, praise the Lord, goes through those times and seasons several times throughout our tenure on the planet. And so don't let anyone tell you that you lack faith because you're going through some challenge in your life. Praise the Lord. This is the way, praise God, that life is set up. It is cyclical. There's a time and a season for all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The Pharisees kept the law in order to be saved by the law, but Paul expressly stated that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. They knew the law, but they did not know the spirit of the law. Self-righteous persons can be legalistic, prideful, arrogant, haughty, religious, pious, hateful, restrictive, judgmental, critical, rude, preachy, mean, dangerous, and lacking in mercy, compassion, kindness, and generosity. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Our righteousness is not God's righteousness. Let me say it again. Our righteousness is not God's righteousness. Why? Because 3rd chapter of Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay? Ours, his. See the difference? His righteousness can be ours only through faith in Christ. But our attempts at righteousness can never be his. Jesus is the righteousness of God alone. He alone fulfilled all the law and the prophets. Okay? Philippians 3:9 reminds us that we are to be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Please turn your Bibles to the Romans, the first chapter. Hallelujah. The first chapter of the book of Romans. Let's look at it together. I want to show you something here. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Romans 1 and 16. Very familiar scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here. Hallelujah. Chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Look what it says. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. The gospel, the power of the gospel, can only operate in you if you believe it. If you don't believe, you will not see the glory of God. You must believe the message of the gospel, and the message of the gospel exclusively. Are you listening? Look what it says. "For therein, the gospel, okay, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, those who are justified by God, those who are in right standing and in right relationship shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or hinder the truth in unrighteousness." You see right there in that pericope of scripture a double revelation. You see the revelation of the righteousness of God as delivered in, as demonstrated in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then you see the revelation of the wrath of God that comes from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or hinder the truth in their unrighteousness. So there's a difference between our righteousness and his righteousness. Hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5. Let's look at it together. Let me show you something here. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Where is it at? Thank you, Lord. Look what it says here, 16th verse of the 5th chapter. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh." See that? Yeah, we have known Christ after the flesh. We have known Christ in religion. We have known Christ in the harlot church system and through institutionalized religion. Yet henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things in his life are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. See, we are now of God. Once we have had them born the new birth experience, we are of God. Meaning that we originate in God. Are you listening? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Listen to this. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not our own righteousness, that we might, but we might be made through the new birth experience the righteousness, the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you listening? Glory to his matchless name. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. It does not say we will be, we should be, or we almost are. It says we are. It has to do with being and not doing. Are you listening? Being and not doing. We are because Jesus made us to be who we are in him through his own finished work on the cross. There is nothing in fallen, sinful man that has the potential to save himself or to be good enough for God to put his saving stamp of approval upon him. You need to understand that. This is why it is imperative, praise the Lord, that that you know the doctrine of homartiology. The doctrine of homartiology, or the doctrine of sin, will teach you the necessity of the salvation experience. Once you understand what human depravity is about and its effect upon us, its origin, and its effect upon your personal humanity, then you will begin to recognize that you absolutely must be saved and that you cannot save yourself. The only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ by your faith in his death, burial, and resurrection at the cross of Calvary. You begin to understand that. And you will not allow the harlot church system to rip you off for the call of Jesus Christ in your life. And the call of Jesus Christ in your life is not something something in particular to do. It is someone in particular to be. God calls you through himself, through his son Jesus Christ, and requires that you believe the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, which is that Jesus Christ came, okay, and suffered death on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day for the remission of your personal sin. He came to set you free from the clutches of human depravity. Hallelujah. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Freedom. This freedom that we idolize in America, praise the Lord, is actually no freedom at all. Authentic freedom is only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of glory. Praise his matchless name. Jesus hated the murderous hearts of the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye are witnesses unto your own selves, that you are the children of them who killed the prophets. You see, the Pharisees identified themselves with their descendants who murdered all of the prophets. They recognized them and honored them. And yet, they did not realize that in doing that, they witnessed that they themselves were the sons of the very people that murdered the prophets, the spiritual sons. Are you listening? Moreover, Jesus predicted that they would kill and crucify some of the prophets, wise men and scribes that he would be sending. And some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute from them from city to city, that upon you may come all of the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Wow, that is a serious judgment right there, people. A serious judgment. That judgment is what you call cumulative. Cumulative. One version of the gospel, it says that all of the righteous blood, okay, of every prophet on earth will come upon them, would be required of them, okay, from one of the sons of Berechiah. I forget them. I'll bring them back to you in my next lesson. Jesus said to the unbelieving Jews in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust desires of your father you will do. Now, you need to understand, people, praise God, that statement is not exclusive to the Pharisees. That statement, praise the Lord, to be applied to every unbelieving person on the planet. Why? Because we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. One of the earthly maxims is that everybody is a child of God, not so. Please turn to John chapter 1. Praise the Lord. And please do this quickly because I'm running out of time. Praise his matchless and glorious name. John chapter 1. Praise his holy and righteous name. Let me show you one thing. No, okay, not every person is a child of God. There are exceptions. I want to show you John, the first chapter. Okay, I read from verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Listen, people. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Yes, all of humanity is a creation of God, but all of humanity is not necessarily a child of God. The only child, the only sons of God, are they, you understand, who have heard the message of the gospel and responded to it in the affirmative. Are you hearing this? Glory to his matchless name. Hallelujah. If Jesus said that the devil was a murderer, let me read it again. Jesus said, John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. You understand that? The devil was a murderer from the beginning. He is the one that murdered Abel in Cain. Are you listening? And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There is no truth, no semblance of truth in the devil. If Jesus said that the devil was a murderer and that the unbelieving Jews were his sons, the implication was that they too were murderers. Jesus had previously established that they sought to kill him. And what happened? In the end, it was the scribes and the Pharisees that orchestrated the murder on the cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And you should know, praise God, that every one of you who are unbelievers are murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ after the fact. You are complicit in the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ after the fact. Every time, praise the Lord, you hear the message of the gospel and reject it, you become a willful practitioner of sin. And you have endorsed the murder of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. Now, that's a harsh reality, but it is a reality nevertheless. And it is a reality, praise the Lord, that if you die in sin, you are going to have to face that reality when you stand before God in the second resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory be to his matchless name. If they could, the unrepentant Pharisees in the church system today would kill those who threaten to dethrone them from their little empires. They are the tares that have grown up among the wheat. Jesus said it would be that way. Nicolaitans today spiritually slaughter the sheep of God when they use them for their personal and sordid gain. I went to seminary as a young man in the ministry. I was taught that miracles were not real and that much of what was told in the Old Testament was myth. I was taught religion, but religion had no life. I was young, impressionable, and ungrounded in the word and spirit. Rather than being built up in the faith, I became spiritually bankrupt. Eventually, I became a professed atheist until my radical conversion years later. Charles E. Newbold speaking. We are instructed in the scriptures to turn away from those who have the form of godliness but deny its power. These present-day Nicolaitans who bear the marks of the Pharisees are the doorkeepers in spiritual Babylon. Babylon is the great mother of harlots. Her name is Jezebel. She is the pulpiteer behind the stage that pulls the strings of the Nicolaitans in the church today. Praise his matchless name. Now, today is Monday, praise the Lord, the 29th. So today after tomorrow, Wednesday, we will return and we will begin, praise the Lord, to define the spirit of Jezebel. I will teach and preach a message called The Spirit of Jezebel versus the Authority of God. Praise God. We need to know who Jezebel is and how she operates and how she is operating in our present day experience. Praise his matchless name. Those of you who have questions, you can contact us at cocdm1@yahoo.com. Praise his matchless and glorious name. Those of you who want to review the message, you can find the message posted on Facebook. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you in perpetuity. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. And I thank you for the indulgence of your time. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you. Amen.